So in the Bible, there are books called 1st and 2nd Samuel. The proper title of these books actually should be David. Because in the middle of the 1st Samuel, David appears and he becomes the main character. And the 2nd Samuel whole book is basically about how David unites the kingdom and rules and what happens to him. And it ends with his death. So David indeed is the most dramatic yet most famous character in the whole Bible. And today's story is somewhat in the middle of his life. This interesting person is the one who is also promised, like son of Jesse, Bethlehem, born of Bethlehem, matching Jesus. So there is many similarity that people studied and researched about comparing David and Jesus. So David was anointed by Samuel, who was the judge, prophet, and priest, to be the king as a boy, probably 12, 11, he was a shepherd. And yet, still, there was a king. King Saul was ruling. So last week was talking about David defeating Goliath. So that made him kind of famous, noticeable, known. So he became general to King Saul. And he marches out and fights against their enemies, and he's victorious wherever he goes. And his fame grows stronger and stronger, and people praising and chanting that Saul killed his thousands and David kills his tens of thousands. This made Saul very angry and jealous of him. So Saul wanted to kill him. Interesting thing is that David had a choice. He had two choices, actually. One is he could fight back. He could have, because after all, what? He was anointed by Samuel to be king. And Saul was actually rejected by their God. He had the just cause. And he became son-in-law to Saul, yet Saul wants to kill him without any just cause. So if you read the human history, that is the perfect case. David would gather his own and fight back. And Saul's from Benjamin. Benjamin is the smallest tribe. And David is from Judah, probably one of the strongest and largest tribe among the 12 tribes. Interestingly, he chose to run. He chose to run. So that became his life until Saul actually dies in the battlefield. He runs here, he runs there, he becomes outlaw. And today's story lies that he's hiding in this certain wilderness. And as soon as Saul heard that, he comes and wants to kill him. David might have had a few hundred people following him. Saul brings 3,000. Right? And camping against him. Now, night comes. David wants to scout the camp. And everybody is sleeping. He is actually stealthily getting into the tent of Saul. And right there, Saul sleeping. And David looking at him. And his officer saying, "Let's kill him. Get rid of him." Saul dies, what happens? David becomes king. David chooses not to. The person who is driving his life crazy, the person who made him outlaw, the person who made him to run away from his family, the person who is making him all this suffering and trouble, and he actually had just cause, right reason to kill him. But David says no. And that was actually a wise choice in two accounts. One, if he kills Saul, simply political reasons, and what happens if somebody else does not like David after he became king? That person could also kill him. Interestingly, history shows that any king who became king by killing somebody else, they have like almost 70 to 80% of chance they are killed by somebody else, by sword. This is a simple statistic. You can check out the history. It's pretty amazing. A king who becomes the king by the will of the people in a peaceful way is usually the one who dies peacefully and passes the kingdom to his children peacefully. So that was one wise choice. But that was not the reason that David chose not to. And that's our central reason for today. He mentioned something about the Lord's anointed. It is not the will of God that I kill him. It should be done the way how God plans. And I will not make it happen, taking not the right way. Killing person is not a good thing. It is actually prohibited, right? And especially anointed. Saul was the first anointed of God. Somehow God chose him to be the king. And David acknowledged it deeply, to the point even that he was willing to suffer all that. Yet, he was willing to wait. If you really put yourself in the shoes of David, this is pretty amazing. His life is actually uncertain. He's an outlaw. Only a few hundred people follow him. And Saul passes his kingdom to his son or grandson. That maybe could be it. Who knows? We know what happened. So we could just nod that, yeah, David made the right choice. But if you are in the David's place, nothing's certain. You got this one opportunity to get rid of the source of all your problems. But that's not the right way. You know that. But if you do, your problem's gone. And you get the power. But somehow David restrains himself, controls his desire, and chose not to. And he's saying, I will wait until the divine plan actually happens. There is something called divine providence. And some people hate it. Some people have big question about it. Some people have a huge argument about it. Divine providence is not same as predestination. Predestination means this infinite God made plan for every single one of you. So whatever you do, your fate happens. Meaning, you got really nothing to play on it. You play it like, I don't know, these pawns on a chessboard. Divine providence is a different thing. Divine providence has a purpose. That is a well-being of your soul, your spirit. It concerns and cares and matters only one thing. Well-being of your mind. And when we go astray to the well-being of our mind, divine providence may act against what we like to be, where we like to be, and how we like to be. And truthfully, our desire, our mind, is always, always going against divine providence. That's kind of our tendency. We love those things in this world. And we love, at the most, two things the way I like it. Right? The way you like it. The colors you like, the things you like. I mean, all this, and especially living in this age we call postmodernistic world, where I believe principles kind of has gone into the past and everybody's opinion should be exactly equally same. So we are living in an age that my opinion should matter the most to me. Therefore, I make a decision. Nobody should be able to say anything to me. Is that right or wrong? I don't know. But you know. Because at the end, if you have lived a little while, I look at you and yes, you know that certain decisions actually lead you that is good for you. And certain decisions looked attractive, somewhat rewarding at the moment, but at the end, it doesn't really bring a good thing to you. And divine providence is trying to help you to see the big and long vision. And Bible, if you read it like as a book that is really written by a loving God, you may find the Bible is amazingly inspiring and kind of pointing to me, like in a big summary, two things. One, there is more than us. Even if you're not a believer of Jehovah or Jesus Christ, that's okay. What Bible is telling is there is more to this world than humans. There is something that is either under, above, around, not controlling us, but somehow gently pushing or guiding or leading. If you are open to receive and see it, you can see this. And the direction this gentle force is guiding us is always, at the end, good of the humanity. Somehow that's what the Bible is about. And second thing is, we have a very important role to play in actualizing the power that is gently guiding us. Human matters. What we do matters. And that's the reason that I chose this psalm, responsive invocation. The second one, the Lord turns rivers into desert, springs of water into thirsty ground. Then the next one, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. How we are matters much, much more than we perceive. Each one of you is an amazing, amazing miracles to be. And I went to convention a few weeks ago, and one of the highlights of this convention I love the most, highlights for me, is worship service that is designed and officiated by youths, 13 to 17. What I love about it is that it's so creative, yet so authentic. And this year, they were focusing on the miraculous fact of being. You know, what are the odds of you actually sitting here as a human? Your conception itself is even a miracle. Like you beat odds of, I don't know, one out of millions. And what are the odds that you are actually alive until 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s, even 80s and 90s? Their message was like that. Existence of humanity is itself a miracle. Why can't you see that way? that each one of you is a miracle to be. And each one of you has so much power within you. And so much interconnected each other. And Bible emphasizes, 2/3 is that, the importance of leaders, like fathers and mothers for the household, minister for the each church, the governor, mayor. Health of mayor actually really matters to the health of the city, right? Health of the president actually matters to the health of the nation. We know all this. And sometimes if you're not a mayor, not president, you feel like, I'm nobody, so I can do whatever I want. Not true. Not true. You are equally important as the instrument, this power vessel to bring and to actualize this divine force that is around and before and behind us. And I know sometimes it takes longer something to happen. Sometimes it takes pain to get there. Sometimes it takes sadness. It causes sadness, like our Charles is living. You know. It takes those things. You know, sometimes it takes a deep, deep suffering. And David's advice is, we don't try to fix it immediately. We don't try to take the shortcut. We don't try to just get rid of it, avoid it, ignore it. David's advice is, have faith in your God and the providence. And restrain yourself, control yourself, and willing to wait. The last thing I'd like to share is that there's a very famous Japanese novel. I'm not sure if it's translated in English or not. This novel is about three big heroes in Japanese history. They were the ones who kind of worked behind the kind of uniting all Japan into one nation. So you could say they gave birth to the modern powerful Japan. And once this wise man asked these three rising stars about this one simple question. There is a bird that is not crying. What will you do to it? First one said, I'll kill it. Bird should cry. Not crying or singing, I'll kill it. It's useless. He was the first one to rise to the power by killing a lot of people. And he was the first one to disappear back into history, being killed by one of his subjects. Next one answered that, if bird is not singing, I'll squeeze his neck until he sings. So he was the second to rise to the power, and he fell. Third one said, if bird is not singing, I'll wait. I'll give time to it and wait until it sings. And he was the one, rise to the power, the third, and actually reunited it and passed that to his descendants. Interesting, isn't it? So may God bless you in your faithfulness, in your prayerfulness, in your patience. Amen.